Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gentlemen.
How are you?
Good. Nervous?
About what?
Well, we're just pre-Liverpool show once again.
No, not at all. Not nervous at all.
It is an intimidating set up the winner.
It's tight, isn't
it? Yeah.
I mean, roll.
This sorts the wheat from the chaff, lads. Yeah. As entertainers.
Like doing it in
this is going to test us.
As entertainers.
As performers.
Are we classing ourselves as...
Proper close-up.
Yeah.
It's like doing charades at Christmas.
We're classing ourselves as performers and entertainers.
That's what we are now, John.
Fuck off.
We're not podcasters, we're bloody performers.
The greatest showman. It's gone floral.
I tell you what it is. It's like Freddie Mercury releasing his album and then doing it live, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's just took his set up to a next level.
Yeah.
So, who's Freddie? Who's Brian May? Who's drummer? Can't remember drummer's name. Can you?
Let's call him Dave.
Yeah.
Big Dave.
Big Dave on the drums. I'll be Brian May. Like, really at the front of the stage, but in the background, and you can be Freddie.
Freddie.
Yeah.
One of my favourite,
you're a weirdo like him.
One of my favourite things is the walkout songs. I've gone through
keep changing.
Yeah, I love it though, Chris.
Yeah, what are you going for tonight?
I'm going to stay with All I Do Is Win, DJ Khaled.
Right.
We went.
I didn't even know DJ Khaled.
The worst one was Sexy Boy, Shawn Michaels. That Matty kind
of. That's my favourite, that one.
See, I think
you've got more of a strut on you when you win that contest.
Nah, I didn't own it.
I think you were quite apt, weren't it? You know, like the fact that he thinks he is.
Yeah.
For want of a better terminology.
I definitely don't win, so that I think All I Do Is Win is quite ironic.
But no, massive thanks to everybody who's turned out for the live shows. We've got two left.
Yeah.
And then I think we've confirmed.
Well, tonight's tomorrow's, and then Thursday's.
We've got confirmed now. We're having a Christmas do.
Yeah, are we?
Manchester Christmas do. Special show. David Weitz is already involved, and another.
We're going to try and get the big dog in, aren't we?
Special guest.
We're going to try and get.
No.
He doesn't know it yet.
Oh, no.
We've not even asked him. So.
No.
So let's just save it. Save it for the big announcement. But massive thanks to everybody who's turned out.
Yeah.
It's been good, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been good. We can't do it next year. Can we go spread them out over the year?
Yeah.
I'm a bag of shit. What goes up must come down. I've had a few downs.
I'll be honest with you, I've not been to the gym since we started these fucking live tours.
No, you're not.
No.
Is it interfering with the life, your personal life?
Yeah. Honestly, I've not been to the gym and it's fucking killed us.
But, who knows wins as well? £1,200 winner. £1,250 winner. Changing lives. Changing his Christmas, that lad.
That's a 2,500. No, that's totally bollocks. That's a 200. It's a 225-1 winner, that.
Well, congratulations.
Well done.
225-1 winner, and he only got 8 out of 10. That don't happen at your bookies at High Street, does it?
That's the beauty of it all, isn't it?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I mean, it's changed somebody's Christmas, that.
Oh, has it?
I'll tell you.
That's a few more extra goodies under the 100%. Treat, if you ask me. Yeah, a few more treats around the table.
If nobody's involved, Chrissy, where do they need to go?
If you want to join the Who Knows Wins League, all you've got to do is go to the iTunes Store, Google Play, download the app, and then we have our league every week, every Saturday, 10 games to predict. Get your predictions in. We all put our fiver in the pot, and we split it.
See, you know when you say more goodies under the tree, for me it's different. It's a bigger piece of lamb.
Yes.
It's a bigger piece of beef. It's a bigger piece of turkey.
Yeah. More tatties.
Pigs in blankets. And we're going all out, aren't we?
And the gammon. The gammon steak.
It's gonna be like babe.
The gammon joint is nothing short of repulsive.
Malin Howard, how are we doing?
Good, you?
Thank you for joining us. Yeah, I'm good, mate.
Thank you for having me.
Very much appreciated.
No, good. I've seen your stuff. Looks really good. I'm interested.
To be fair, you came in and you went, nice to meet you. I said, well, we've had a night out before. And you went, have we? So I must not have been fucking very memorable.
Not made an impression.
Normally, a long time ago.
To be fair, it were getting on for 20 years ago.
Oh, mate, 20 years ago.
You're big on the motor scene now, I believe, looking after quite a few players.
I am, with my car company. What is
it that you... Is it modifications and stuff?
We do everything. It was running in the background while I was playing. It's probably 15 years now going. It's just a car company that I set with one of my business partner in Nottingham. And we just took it from one extreme to another from doing... At first, it started with wrapping, bespoking and customising and stuff like that. And it's gone to car sales, new cars and...
Have you had some unusual requests from players?
Not really, but the cars nowadays are just like fully binged up. We do V-classes now, the Mercedes vans. They go from one extreme to another. You can have all sorts in them, printers, PlayStations and everything in them. So
I've got mine booked in next week, by the way, for a wrap.
I know, he was talking about it, weren't he? Yeah.
I'm getting an ejector seat in mine for next time. I'm giving you all a lift home.
Fuck for that.
Fuck it.
Get him out.
Really there yet? Boom.
See, booking you in.
I seen something on Instagram. Did you get the, when you went Leicester, won the league?
Yeah.
They all got given cars.
Yeah, the I8s. Yeah.
It's not a bad one, is it?
Because we do Wes Morgan's cars. Oh, so yeah, obviously he said that what they was doing and... Obviously, they all came in the same colour, all blue. And then it was in the papers, actually, saying that they didn't recognise, they came to me, AC13, they didn't know who cars was whose because they were all the same, which is a load of rubbish. But because we wrapped, I think we wrapped about 10 or 11 of them.
Is that a little bit ungrateful?
You've been given a car.
You've been given a car and you thought, fuck it, I want mine a different colour. You've been given 100 grand cars and you're like, nah, I'm not happy with that. I want mine in black or I want mine in red or whatever.
Even more ungrateful if you send them the invoice.
that was quite good, to be fair, doing all their cars.
Enjoying it though, are you?
Yeah, very much, very much. Get to see a lot of the lads still in football, some of our clients, get to talk to them, see how they're getting on. I'm sort of glad I'm out of it now, it's because you hear some of the stories and how they're doing, and when the lads are not playing, and they're unhappy and you don't want to hear that anymore because it's not nice for them, but yeah. It's just nice to see from outside.
I think me and you get it as well. You know, when you fall out the game, you lose touch with a lot of people. Mm. You know, it's just, I think, just natural not to...
Unfortunately, I never lost fucking touch with you, did
I? But it's good to catch up. We do the same. Like, speak to lads who we played with 10 years ago, and it's just always good to catch up. So I'm guessing it's good for you.
Very
just
good.
You're still involved without being 100% involved in the football. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it is good, to be fair. And plus, I do a lot of home games with ambassador work, so I see a lot of businesses, and I'm still networking with my company.
You've been networking since 2010, a club every year.
Yeah, of course.
How many clubs you had in those final years of your career? Like, it was like one a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was just talking about that then. Yeah.
How it is, though, when you start...
Look back on it, I'm pleased I did.
Yeah.
Opened a few doors.
Yeah, it has, mate, it has.
But you started at Forest. But how did that come about? Because obviously, born and raised in London.
Yeah, because at the time, I didn't really know. You have scouts everywhere. And my manager for Pecklete Boys was a scout for Nottingham Forest. And he's part-time when he's not coaching us or playing. When we were playing, he was going to watch other teams and see if there's any talents around. But then he just said to me, that, do you fancy going to Nottingham? Because I think you're ready. I said, yeah, definitely. Who's going to turn something like that down?
So how old were you?
13.
Were you like me? Were you a big 13?
I was a big boy.
Yeah. I was like, you might have been the same. I was the one that went into the shop for the alcohol on a Friday night. You know what I mean? And when he gave me the money, if I mean, six bottles of cider and whatever, and my Magno 2020.
I was, if somebody had a tash, they were always good.
I had a tash. five bags clinking over the road while they're all waiting at bushes.
Big lads, big lads.
So you came up to Nottingham.
Yep.
Is that Diggs? And
yeah, Diggs. When I was 15, I came into Diggs. John and Liz at the near the ground. I don't think that's still there anymore. I stayed there for 3 years when everyone else was 2 years, because I can play for the year above and the year below, because it's like an August birthday.
Birthdays, yeah.
So they made me stay in an extra year. They don't think they trusted me out in the open.
Out in the big white world of Nottingham.
So, yeah,
how
I stayed there for 3 years.
How did you find moving away on your own?
At first, I found it a bit exciting, but then as time goes on, because when you're in the Digs on your own and everyone's going home to all their places, it got a bit homesick and stuff like that. But
so you not go back?
Not all the time. I stayed up majority of the time because I was doing schooling as well. So yeah. I had to do a lot of schooling and catch up at weekends and stuff. But all the other lot, they had cars so they can drive and go. So I didn't have that thing. But then plus I probably waste all my money the first week I got it, and then I have no money to go home or do anything in the train.
I'd love to come and see mum and dad, but I've spent my money. There's a sale on in Zara.
That's a bit honest. All the YT money that you get.
I mean, we've had a few guests on from that era at Forest, the pros. Mm. I mean, I imagine it was rough and ready.
Mm. It was.
As a young lad of YT.
Yeah, no, times have changed. We were just talking about it. Times have changed, like, because you had to stood up and count for yourself. It's like you get thrown in the deep end and you have to stand up. Obviously, now you get pampered and everything's there for you and stuff like that. But I was literally in the first team dressing room with all the likes of Alan Rogers, Mark Crosley, the lads we was talking about, and you just had to handle yourself. But to be fair, the lads looked after me very, very well, anything I needed. But when you're on that pitch, you had to literally stand up for yourself, and when that ball's getting wrapped into you by Stuart Pearce, you got to get hold of it, as they're going to let you know.
Yeah.
So I learned my trade from that straight away.
Well, just looking at this list of the players, like, we've had obviously Norm on Lunatic, Kevin Campbell, sensible lunatic, I think. Alan Rogers, lunatic. Carlton Palmer, lunatic. And Andy Johnson, absolutely off the fucking scale, lunatic.
So he's on a different level, lunatic.
I mean, how did the managers control then, really?
I think it's the professionalism of them when it comes to playing, that they know that it's job and it's work. That's, but then off the field, I think it's all the characters. It's good to have that. And the people, I think the managers that we had are characters as well, like Dave Bassett, he was a character in itself. Mm. Frank Clark, obviously he's well respected. So you sort of have that balance, and the lads sort of looked after themselves when they know when to stop, there's time to stop. But like you just said, there's some lunatic moments I've seen them being involved with, but you can't do that nowadays. Yeah. Could probably be locked up.
How worried were you, you know, on the pitch when you moved up? Look, because I think it's a good thing that they treat young lads as a first team. You know, like you said, if Stuart Pearce passes you the ball and you don't hold it up, you get a bollocking.
Yeah, straight
back
away.
Back then, I think I used to crumble, thinking, they don't rate us. They don't rate us on my amount of depth. But really, it's because they know that you're good enough.
Mm.
And they're just basically treating you like everybody else.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree with that, to be fair. But it's so different now. But obviously, you've got elite players, young elite players that can handle that, because obviously they get nurtured and how they deal with it. But back then, you literally, it's indescribable, really, because when you're in that moment, literally that ball's coming to you, your mind's going 100 miles an hour, and you want to do so many things, but you got to rely on that touch, because if you don't, you're just going to get hammered, and they rely on you. So it's crazy, different generation.
You never got the cotton wool out, did you, around Jono?
No.
Did you know about the cotton wool?
No.
He's terrified of it, apparently. That's his kryptonite, cotton wool.
Didn't know that, to be fair. I wish I did. Because I would have had it in my hand all the time.
Just to keep him away from you.
God. I think only one person ever planted something. I think someone put it in his wash bag.
Yeah.
And the ape shit.
Yeah. He's relentless, though. Like, relentless. All the time. Always looking for something. Always wanting to do something or hammer something or flick someone, or it was good though, because he got everyone going all the time. And if anything was happening, you know it was Jono.
did it get too much at times? You're just like, oh, fuck's sake, man,
I can imagine like your Van Oudonks and stuff wouldn't
like have it
clash, yeah,
yeah. No, it just you just have to take it. Really, Jono and Tank, they were always relentless, always doing someone's room, always doing Dave Bassett's room, Dave Besson's room as well. They were relentless. Remember in Miami, we went to Miami time, and I think I don't know who it was. I don't know if it's Tank's room. Tank threw Jono's stuff out of the hotel window all over the floor, and we were like six floors up. Madness.
What? Is that the trip they did Miami. The wrong room? Did they do the wrong room? So thought it was a player's room, but it was just random.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
It's crazy.
Walking down the street just went for a lovely meal.
Trying to remember what actually happened. All over. Yeah, no, it's scary. I think it was. I think you're actually right. I think it was someone else's room. They thought it was a player's, but it was just a normal person's room.
Businessman.
And it was all out of the room. They're the things you used to get, bro.
Turning up to a conference next day in a pair of shorts. You go in and you're like, you're on the fifth floor there, on the sixth, and you're like, that mattress that's just gone past, mattress just gone past the window there, you know what?
Is that the speedboat trip then? Is that the same trip?
Miami, speedboat.
Was that when Norm
thing? Yeah, took the speedboat out. He sunk the boat.
Dave Platt. Platt, he was the manager.
It might have been, but have been, yeah. I think I don't know, because I don't think you were mentioned as being there. But I think
it might have been a different trip.
Yeah, it must have been.
They got one of the estuary boats, but took it out to sea and sank it.
Oh Jesus!
Norm had a license, apparently.
Did he?
But yeah, it went tits up. It was every man for themselves. Just
the initiations and all that stuff. Then I imagine there were.
Yeah, there's loads. Birthdays, all that kind of stuff. Like, I remember who was I getting lippy with? I wasn't sure because they were threatened to put me into the bins. You know the big bins? Like, as a young lad, yeah. Oh, God, it was relentless. It wasn't scary.
But did you stand up for yourself and go, under no circumstances?
Yeah, no, I did. You have to. Because if you don't, I think it would just keep going. Like, if you didn't stand up for yourself and try to be, like, want to have a fight, or if it got too far, then I think they'd just be relentless. Because I did it to Mickey Adams. Me and him fell out on the pitch. Something happened, and he made me do laps around the
Mickey
pitch.
Mickey Adams, the manager?
Yeah. And we clashed, to be fair. And I can't remember what happened, but I had to do runs, 60-second lap runs. So I did one, did another one, and he's like, get another one out. And I was looking at him, and we were literally squaring up to each other. And obviously, as a young lad, you can't really do that. So he made me do another one, and then he said, that was it. So
what was it like after, were you?
Yeah, he was fine. But Mickey's one of these, like, he'll run with you. So, like, you do your runs, and if you're behind him, he'll make you do it again.
One of them
managers.
Yeah, going back Chrissy, having to stick up for yourself. One of my good mates is Tommy Spur, who I was at Donny, and I think he was at Chef Wed.
Yeah.
And we played at Blackburn together, and the lads used to just hammer him, and to the point where they'd, you know, the old kid skips, yeah. Boot skips.
Yeah.
They'd put him in there, lock it up, and just go out and train and left him in there.
And he played about 400 games?
Yeah, he's 30-year-old.
That's banter.
I wasn't there at the time, but I remember I said, Tommy, you need to fucking put a marker down, man, and just, you know, come out swinging. But like the boot polish on his face.
Yeah. The silver silver skips.
Yeah. But once they're locked.
Yeah, you can't get out of them. Oh wow!
What do you do? You just like you knock on it like help. I just think, look, I'll wait till they come and get me out.
But you're right. You need to. All it takes is one swing, and then they'll never do it again.
Yeah,
yeah. We had loads of them. Birthdays. There was guaranteed a fight. Someone's birthday because we were fit. Because you remember the old at Forest, we had in the change room the big pool where you all get showered in. So yeah. The lads would fill it up and put all sorts of boot polish, wee, poo, and all sorts of stuff in there. And then the lads will, all of us will grab all the lads and chuck them in. And
What birthday it were?
Anyone's birthday.
Just shit soup.
Yeah. And you're just throwing them in there. Can't do that anymore.
Did you ever get thrown in yourself?
Oh, come on, they'd be too
Come on.
No, it wasn't none of that.
You did Big Kev's boots, didn't you? Campbell?
Yeah, what a legend he was.
Good tipper, class man.
Wow, very good tipper.
Is he?
Yeah.
I can imagine he would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked after Kev. Tried to make sure his boots was all good. I had Kev, Andre Salenzi, if you remember, Andre Salenzi, and Chris Buck Williams.
Good Kev, guys. Man.
Chris Bart were the entertainment officer that never drunk, weren't he?
Yeah, he didn't drink.
But raised everything.
Raised everything. Loves a night out. Bartman.
Brilliant.
He was wicked. He got me in the club one time. He gave me his ID. That was in Miami, to be fair. I can talk about that now, to be fair. So yeah, it's funny.
What, because you were you too young?
Yeah.
Oh, under 21, innit, yeah. America?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a young bee.
So Chris Bart gave you his ID and you got you in?
Yeah. Good times, mate, good times.
Because even in America, you still got to show your ID if you're older, aren't you?
Yeah.
Were you willing to like get turned away so you could get in?
Oh, I don't know about that.
You weren't bothered, were you? Once you got it, you're right.
Because he showed it. He showed it. And then
the barman's still outside. All of us,
obviously, we're lads. We all congregate together. So he showed it. He looked at it, give it, and then he like passed it to me.
Oh, right.
So
he's got it. Thank you.
And I got
it. I like it.
What a guy. What a guy.
Good times, mate.
First bit of trophy were?
Yes.
Finland. Was it Hacker?
Yeah, FC Hacker. We was talking about that, weren't we? Like, because you was almost going there.
Well, you're on about obviously Dave Bassett, or the manager who sent you.
Yeah.
I had Dave Bassett at Barnsley and he tried sending, he was going to send me to Finland.
Oh, he's getting.
Yeah.
I was about to say, now I've never heard that story. Like,
he had an holiday let over. He must definitely. He was putting on top dollar to
club. A team called FF Yarrow, right? And I've arranged to go and then I ended up doing my groins and ending the operation. I'd have been in Finland.
I might give him a ring to say, like, did you get backhander? Can I have some of that?
Oh, he's got seven timeshares. If anybody wants to go to Finland,
sending all his players Christmas, there.
Bassett's I've had to speak to.
I thought I was special.
Strange one, though, isn't it? Did he give you the option or was it just,
no,
this just, is where you're going?
Yeah. He just says, you need some experience, that old chestnut. So then I said, yeah, okay, I'll go, because then he's got a mate, Keith Armstrong, he's a Geordie. I think they were best mates. His name in Finland is Keke. So I went there, met Keith, and we did really well, to be fair. We got promoted into the Champions League, and then we did well. Then I went the second year, and then we got promoted to UEFA, and I played with them in Bangor. It's quite funny, to be fair.
Because you'd already played in the first team, hadn't you, at Forest?
No, I didn't, I don't think.
This was before, right.
Yeah, so then I came back and played.
And that's when you
started.
So
it was not a thought, a bit of you like, I need to be playing in England, really. Even if you dropped out of League One, at least they can see us. And
yeah, I'm just going by the gaffer, really.
Doing what you were talking about. Yeah.
So how old were you when you were in Finland?
Probably 18, 19.
Right.
Don't forget, this is fucking 20...
It's mad.
20 years ago.
So, thing is, when that manager talks to you like that and he says, oh, you're in my plans and I need you to get experience, I think this is the best thing to do. You don't really argue with him, do you? Especially at age of 18, you just listen, and that's what I did. But I'm glad I did it because it made me know what it's sort of like. Obviously, football can take you anywhere. And then I obviously went on to China and I knew when someone says that to me, I had a bit of experience of what I expected to, if I was going to go over there.
When was that? Was that the back
end of my career, yeah.
Was that a new challenge?
Was a new challenge. But it was wicked.
You got fucking weighed in. The price of them fucking wraps went down. Went down 30%. I did a new challenge in China. Fucking hell, tell a joke. I'm only devastated I never got offered a new challenge in China. I'd still be there playing that at fucking 40.
By the way, you kept a straight face then.
I had to. Being professional.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's funny.
Fucking new challenge.
Were there other English lads in Finland, or were you?
No, the only one. Yeah. I was the only one. Since Paul Gazza, I think it was Gazza, was over there for so many years, and then I was after, and then after that, then it was free fall. Everyone went after that.
I've never heard anybody go over there, to be fair, now, until you two have said that.
I know, yeah, I forgot about it myself.
You could have been a Finnish poster boy, Johnny.
Oh, fucking hell, I. Man, I could have been sat in a jacuzzi in Finland now, as we speak.
The locals would have loved you.
But then, how soon after you got back from that second spell were you...
Straight in. Yeah, because Kev done his back. I was playing up front with Pierre van Hooijdonk, which is...
Fucking hell, that's a dream come true.
What were the just going back to Finland? What were the standard like compared to what, you know, like when you go to, when you're going to training?
Yeah, no, it was decent standard, to be fair. Some of the lads played for the Finnish internationals, so played for the country. So it was, the standard was quite good, to be fair.
So even though you're going out getting experience of playing,
not the best, are they?
What, Finland? I thought you won't fucking get a game. Yeah. So even though you are, if you're going for experience, it weren't like too easy for you. In a way,
no.
You know, it was still a challenge for you at 18, and you're learning about actually playing.
Yeah, no, it was decent, to be fair. I enjoyed it.
Because I was thinking of the fact, you know, if you went over there and did well,
yeah.
This thing, the manager's thinking about, it's in Finland, isn't it? It's not in the Championship, but it's not in League One.
No.
How's he going to do when he's over there?
Yeah, I know, talking about it now, I really think about it like that, because I'm a young lad, I'm just going over there and just playing football. And when you really look back at it, you think, why are you taking me to Finland, really? Yeah. And there's clubs here that I could go to and probably learn more of an experience
exactly,
doing here.
Sure,
basically, you did exactly what I did. Just
more of a
said,
battle.
I'll go, Harry, no bother. I'll have fucking 3 months, 6 months back there, no bother, gaffer.
Did you hit the ground running in the first team when you got back?
Yeah, literally. He chucked me straight in.
That's some start,
which is decent, really. Because we got promoted. That game, it was at West Brom away making my debut. We got promoted to the Premier League. So,
first notch.
It was decent.
Yeah.
That's some first game, then, isn't it? Starting up front with Pierre.
Oh, was he?
Pierre Van Hooydonk, wicked, mate.
As a lad?
Yeah. And helped me on the pitch and everything like that. Just talking to me. To be fair, I had Scotty Genmore was good at that. He was top looking after young lads because obviously it's where he came from, and he just knew what he was sort of about, and he was spot on, to be fair.
Yeah, you need that, don't you? Just
someone to look after.
Like,
if something goes, you know, it doesn't always go your way on the pitch, and if there's someone there that reassures you that keep going, at least you're. But to be fair, we did well.
Did you feel the tension then later on when he went AWOL? Because like Andy Johnson said, oh, I weren't bothered. Like, he went and he's just going to do it. But Norm said he was furious with him. Mm. Like, he wanted to have it out with him.
By the way, it was better for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better for you that he was AWOL.
Yeah, it was. But I,
Pierre, stay home as long as you want.
Do you want your boots? I'll bring them for you.
We're doing all right back here, mate. You'll fucking stay on back on that sun lounger.
Yeah, I don't know what, he just went a bit loony being on that stage. He had his own whatever he'd agreed with the club. No one would know unless he was in that room. But he weren't accepting it, which is strange.
Mind is what it was again. Was it the?
They sell Kev to Turkey, didn't they?
Yeah.
They started getting rid of a lot of the better players who got them promoted.
Yeah, they did. To be fair, Norm was fuming, actually. He was quite fuming about it when he was talking about the change rooms. And Norm's not really that sort of person, but he was quite passionate about what he was doing, because obviously it's Forest. He loved Forest, yeah.
The thing with it is though, you know, like if you get... I mean, Van Aanholt must have been on fortune even back then. The lads who are in the Championship, the money doubles maybe when they go to the Prem. They're thinking, if we stay up, we've got that money for an extra year.
Mm, definitely.
But if Pierre's going to fuck off somewhere else and get another big move, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll have been all right regardless, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Are you still on your YT contract when you make that debut for promotion?
Yeah, first year, second year pro, yeah. Them days. But I got like... signing on fees and bonuses and stuff for playing. So, yeah, I was buzzing, to be fair.
Yeah.
So you could afford to go home then that weekend.
Yeah, mate.
I'm going to come
more
and see
than
you,
just
mum.
Go home. I bought a car, but all sorts.
So is that pro contract? Your first pro contract in the Premier League, would it?
Yeah, it's wicked, mate. Because you get like signing off. I don't know if you remember, like when you make your debut, you get a massive lump sum of money.
Nah.
Didn't you?
No.
Well, I did.
What the fuck? I wasn't very good, man.
I bought a Chinese in mine, I think. Not a fucking car.
Well, yeah, that's big though, isn't it? Mm. You know, one game and then you're all of a sudden a Premier League player.
Yeah, it all changed there. The negotiation times, then you start getting an agent, and then it's just free fall from there.
Do you feel like your first contract was fair? Your first pro, looking back, were you happy with it?
No. Looking back,
no.
Knowing what I know now,
exactly.
But happy
because obviously when you come through the ranks, you just settle for what they think it is. But then when you're seeing players come in, that's not half of your
well, you think you're better than them, and they're on millions of pounds exactly, more than you. So obviously, no, it's
talked
hard,
about
isn't
it, a lot, haven't we, about the lads coming through the academy and getting taken advantage of.
Yeah, I wouldn't say taken advantage because that's a bad word to use, but I think it's just a system you go through. And that's the system. I wouldn't say taken advantage of.
I suppose
that's a bad
from
word
a business
use.
Perspective, you're playing on those young lads' emotions, yeah, so to speak, because you've come through at Forest, you want to play for Forest, you experience it all. Mm. So you're going to take less money.
Yeah, well, so that's where they value you at the stage. But then when they're paying like £1 million for the same sort of player in the academy, then you're thinking, hold on a minute, like,
yeah,
I'm playing week in, week out, and he's on the sub. So he's like, them things come into thought process.
I got my pants pulled down at Sunderland.
Did you?
Like the YT, I think it was Ian Branfoot, you know, the old Southampton manager.
Yeah.
He was academy director. And I had my dad. I didn't have an agent at
the time.
How old
are you?
36.
Okay.
But he was academy director. And at the time I didn't have agents, but looking back, I should have done. But my dad, I think he sat my dad down and went, nobody will be on any more money than him. He'll be that top earner. I think I was on £300 a week. And they're getting these Irish lads over on 1,200, 1,500 quid a week. I just, straight away, the first week,
I just felt like...
Yeah, that's what I got. Exactly the same. But I think that goes everywhere, though.
Yeah, I think it's the same. I don't think it's just at Sunderland. Every club's the same. Yeah. If you're a kid on your first year pro wage on 250 quid, right, and then they offer you £1,000 a week, right, you're like, fuck me, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Right? And you're playing the first team, and then you're thinking, but that he's on fucking £4,000 a week and I'm playing the same team.
Yeah, yeah. And you just signed a 4-year deal.
Yeah. Nobody ever offered me one of them bastards. but then that's when you need to, obviously, if you kick on again, they'll reward you. But then they might only give you £2,000 a week.
Yeah, but you do it yourself though. So you don't have an agent at that age because you just think they're going to look after
exactly.
you.
Yeah.
But
naive.
Yeah.
So you've gone basically in a season maybe from 250 quid a week to £2,000 a week. But fuck, Joe Bloggs next year, still on £4,000 a week and he's fucking sub.
Yeah.
That's how, it's hard. He's going through an academy and going that way.
Mm. It always struck us as a good club to play for, Forest.
It was so good, mate. I'll easily go back to that stage because the group of lads that we had was fantastic. We'd stuck together, enjoying football week in, week out, scoring goals, just a banter. And it was fun until you get to like 21 when it's a job.
Yeah, 21. Because when was it a job for you? 17?
The second day, YT. Scrubbing some boots, I'm like, fuck me, this is fucking toil, this, isn't it? I want to play football, I don't want to clean some of this shit out of the toilet. Bit of chewing gum out of fucking you, right?
That's what it was like, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who were your boys? Who were your mates at that time?
Steve Melton, Scott Fitchett, Andrew Dawson, because we had like, Michael Dawson was a year younger, JJ, Andy Reid. They were like first years, we were second years, third years. So our era was quite busy, to be fair.
Good days, man.
It was Dorse, wicked, man. Mate.
What were Dorse like back then?
Speaks just like you.
So I played him at all when he was like so fucking sensible.
Yes, he's got such a good lad.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine him ever getting in any bother.
No. Just no, like, he did not in bother, but he was there. He'd have a drink and be with lads, a bit of banter and stuff, but he'd never get in trouble or anything like that. Yeah. But you always used to try and wind him up.
Well, gives it that one off. That's me now. I've had me five.
Yeah. All three of them is exactly the same. All three of them are like, they're so chilled and look after. All right, Ma, how are you doing? And stuff like that. But good lads. Good lads, to be fair.
I was big Ron.
Character. Much of a character. I don't, where does he get it from? Actually talking about it now, where did he get his, like, big Ron? What was he?
Where's he... I don't know.
What clubs was he back United, before?
Man U, wasn't it?
Man United.
Yeah.
Went from Ron to Big Ron.
Yeah, so where's that come from, though?
I don't know.
I think it was when they were ordering sunbeds and he went, yeah, it's for Big Ron. Yeah. And they effectively put it over his bed. It's just lying.
No, it is. Should I really know? Because he's like a superstar. When he came, like, everyone was going crazy. This is, we got the manager, the superstar. Like,
did he have could a you not presence? See it? I'm taking from what you, like, you couldn't see it.
No, he was good. He was good at talking. He was good at inspirational talks and getting you going and stuff like that. But I couldn't see where the
persona had come from.
Yeah.
I think what we've picked up from the lads that have played under him was he's just his man management. He wasn't a coach. It was just the way he looked after players, where he dealt with them. And by the way, everyone we've had on loved him.
Yeah. CP absolutely like loves him. Like everywhere he goes, CP goes.
Yeah.
Yes. Dean Saunders. Absolutely loves him.
Shez. Tom Sheridan.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that was a time when it was, because we asked Shez, didn't we, the other night?
Yeah.
Do you think he could manage now? And he went, nah, no chance. And I wonder if that was coming into that time when he might have been seen as a bit of a dinosaur, or the players were just getting too big for him.
As big as him. Maybe. That might have been the problem.
He was no longer big wrong.
Everyone's medium wrong, because now what lads are caught up there.
That's funny.
Yeah.
He was obviously the superstar manager. And then the players start getting the superstar status and all that.
Yeah. Favourite video, somehow there's a video somewhere of him on holiday in a pair of budgie smugglers and he's asking for 4 tequila sunrises in Spanish to the waiter. I don't know why I've seen it all, but it's hilarious.
You've not dreamt it?
And he's definitely not Big Ron either, in budgie smugglers. I don't know where it's come from.
Quality. Big Ron.
We spoke a lot, again, Stuart Pearce going from player to manager, just have a no respect as a manager. And I think we've heard a bit that Platt was a bit like that, you know, somebody who was such a good player to then as soon as he become manager just lose it all, and nobody just lost the dressing room kind of thing.
Yeah, it's hard. The transition is hard, I think, because once you're manager, it's all on you and you need the lads to try and do the same thing as a player, but you're on the other side and telling them what to do. So the respect factors, unless it is, I don't know. I think it's like the man management you talked about. It's off the field. Big Ron was good at that. And then on the field, like trying to coach and trying to get him to do something, I think Platty just didn't work for him in that sense.
You've got to do it gradually, I think.
Do you think? I think you've got to put a statement down early.
Do you?
Yeah. I think just bollock the best player or...
What, have it like that? But the thing is, we know as players, like, because before a manager comes in, there's all rumours flying around straight away. So you already know what to expect.
Like.
Yeah, so, and the first session comes in, if he does a good session that everyone's got a good sweat on and everything, he's in. But if you're not thinking, like, you're less... What's going on here? So you already automatically know like what's happening.
Yeah.
So I've had that a few times in the dressing room. New managers comes in and lads have had them before, and then some of them like him, some of them don't like him. But it's usually a case that the people that like him, he's played for him. He played for him week in, week out, and the other ones that's not. So you have to sort of automatically use your own judgment.
Yeah.
But you already know what's going to happen before.
It's just one moment of weakness and then I think that's it. I think you've lost everybody.
Early doors.
I remember Paul Lambert came into Blackburn and he set a statement. Marcus Olsen was being linked with everybody.
Yeah.
He was our best player. He was on a free at the end of the year and I think it was our second game. He didn't even play that bad. It was just, we're all shit, but Olsen wasn't worse than anybody. And Lambert's just tore him a new arsehole. They're like red in the face, got in his face. And then we're thinking, fuck me, Olsen's our best player.
Yeah.
If he can do that, say that to him.
Yeah.
So straight away we were like, right, everyone's going to react. Fix up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the way to do it.
Like a big one for me, right, when I were at Fleetwood with Graham Alexander, right, I never got up for breakfast, believe it or not. I never got up for breakfast on a Saturday morning. Never. I'd get up 10 minutes before the walk, go down Evers Walk, Evers pre-match. Right, and our 33, so what's that, 15 years, Graham Alexander insisted that I went down for breakfast when we're playing away. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm fucking 600 games in. No, I know what I need for my body.
Yeah, but you could have said, you don't have to eat anything. He might have just wanted all the team together at breakfast.
No, not at the same time.
But at the same time,
you have to go down for breakfast at some point.
Like, it's the same thing though, isn't it? Because you're saying you're 33 at the time. Olsen, he's ripped him in. He's thinking, I need to tell you that you've got to fall in line with the rest of these lads.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. He's made you the target.
Have a croissant and shut the fuck up.
What if he said it a different way? Like he said, get your ass downstairs. Okay, careful.
I just have a full English, just got strength just to fuck him off. Another piece of bacon here, sweetheart. Fuck him. That's what I mean, but you might... That or just me in the maybe just me in the team. You've got sort of 7 or 8, 10, 12 older players we're all being told, no, you're doing this, not that, what you've done for 10 years. Mm. If you've got a group of 10, you're 20.
Do you think it's just a change? They're scared of change.
Been through
such a routine, and then all of a sudden, bang.
Players, I mean, even as daft as it sounds, if you got Wednesday off, we had Wednesdays off pretty much religiously, didn't we, every week. Some managers say, oh, we'll train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you left Thursday off. Fuck me, it's uproar.
Yeah. Yeah,
you've still got your day off at week, but I need Wednesday off. Thursday, I can't fucking cope with Thursday.
Yeah, it's very true, very true.
I don't think you can just go. I mean, it probably never happen now, because I don't think there'll be that much of a serious change to what it were. But it were like, they were telling people who played all them years at the top level, you can't do that anymore. Straight away, your back's going to be up.
Yeah.
So what chance has the manager got if you've got 10 players who are all...
Do you think that's why the respect's gone out of the game?
Maybe, yeah. Just too much power in the player.
Because that's non-existent anymore.
I think that's come from the monetary value as well.
Mm.
If you're getting paid, I don't know, 25 grand a week, are you really that arsed if you're not playing?
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
It depends on the individual, doesn't it?
I always look at the Mourinho and Pogba thing, and I always felt Pogba was always going to win that battle with him.
Yeah.
And it would never be like that 15, 20 years ago.
Has your manager got to evolve?
No, I don't think so. Because I think he kind of just, after that, I think the whole place was like, he's not.
Here's one for you then, right? I reckon Conte just got the Tottenham job. He'll have a good 2 months. Good 2 months and get his reaction, and then the lads will start thinking, I don't fucking like this guy. He's telling me to do something I don't want to do and all that.
Mm.
And then it's potted by end of season, Conte.
I'll have a fiver with you.
I think he's right, you know. That's the way I feel. But it shouldn't feel like that. It's like, I want to go into management later on, because I've done my badges and stuff, and I have part-time at Forest, but I'm scared of doing it now because of the last couple of years. Like, going into a job, you ain't got time anyway, but you haven't got any sort of like, try to bed them in, talk to them, anything like that. As soon as one lad talks or someone else, that they're gonna, it's just gonna feed round, and then you ain't got that chance. The power, like you said, the power's gone from the manager, which he should have. He should like say what he wants, because if it's philosophy in his head that he wants to coach and how he wants to do it, and if you're not part of your plans, then okay, then I'll help you go somewhere else to get someone else that would enjoy what I want to do. But I don't think that's...
Harry Kane's down tools, isn't he?
Like,
Harry Kane's down tools. It's probably cost Nuno his job.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
So Harry Kane's your main man, and the rest of the team look up to your main man, and they're like, well, if he's not happy, he's not having it.
Yeah, no, I disagree, to be fair. Because we know Harry personally, because we do a lot for him in the business side of it, and the guys, I can't speak highly enough of him, because he's a great guy. But obviously what he's done for Tottenham and how things have happened this year, I don't think it's just him to blame, because Tottenham are not doing it full stop all around the pitch. They ain't giving him... He's probably doing the same sort of thing that he's doing last year, but it's just the whole team around him is not doing what he's doing. Because if Kane's not scoring, and then he had other people that were scoring, Song and all that kind of things, and they're not even getting in positions from like the weekend to have no shots on goal. When have you heard of Tottenham no shots on goal? So it's not just Harry.
Yeah,
I know you're just saying that, but I don't think it's just Harry, because you can not play him.
No.
And they still can.
Yeah. But I totally understand. I totally agree with Harry. If I'd have been Harry Kane, I'm dropping a shit on Levy's desk.
I wasn't expecting him to say that.
I'm being serious.
Can you imagine? Harry Kane on all fours on board room table.
With his initials.
Signed.
I'm serious. What?
I'm serious.
Right, if you,
have a look at that, Levy.
But what else can you do? Right, what else can you do? Pin him up. Leave his office and pin him up. I'm being deadly serious. Pin him up. Right, don't sack us, Daniel. Not going to sack him, is he? You can make things that uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And
but then again, that's coming into player power, isn't it? Because
that's player power, manage, club owner power.
On one hand, they're saying players have got too much power, but then on the other hand, if it wasn't Harry Kane, it was somewhere but less than in the pecking the order. And you say
he's made a choice. He's made a choice. He's made a choice, so he's going to have to live by his choice of keeping him. Yeah. So
Could be just out of form. He could be carrying an injury.
I'm not saying Harry's going into training every day and tossing it.
You said he's down tools.
He's down tools. I'm not bothered how many cars he's racked. Harry has fucked it off.
Quality.
Tottenham have got to realise what he's done for him over this last however many years.
Yeah, massively.
And you've got to fucking play the game.
Respect.
Yeah.
They're not selling him for fucking 50 million, are they?
No.
They're selling him for fucking 100.
Yeah.
They're having the fill out at poor lad, aren't they?
I do feel sorry for him. I said it again. Because in January, surely his price tag is going to go down. No. It's not going to stay the same. And then he's going to have another upset person, even more so than he is now.
Because they'll be raising that somebody offers 60 instead of 100. So £40 million for 5 months.
It's going to...
On that, obviously, you played and come through with Stuart Pearce as captain.
Mm.
And I imagine a lot of them lads looked up in him and respected him.
Yeah.
But a few of the lads that we've had on that played for him as a manager said that he couldn't really control the lads. He didn't have any authority. When we're talking about him as a player, did everybody have that respect for him? Like, where did that like shift?
I don't know. It's an interesting question, to be fair, because on the pitch, you got this proper statue of a man, a legend, how he plays. He's very aggressive. And I think that works in his favour when he's talking to people, the respect that he commands and stuff like that. But I think once you go on the other side, that,
transition,
on the pitch sort of changes really because he's, I don't know how to answer that question. It's quite,
even if he's not a great manager or a great coach, he can still be a scary bastard, can't he?
Yeah, he can be, I think when you come a manager, you can't do that because you need that person. I'm not going to upset you and I want you to run around 90 minutes on the pitch because you can't really do about that person. But as a player, I can upset you because we're going to be playing week out all the time. So you need me, I need you. But at the same time, I can upset you because if you're not doing it, then you'll take to me. If I'm not doing it, then in that mentality of a player, you up your game because you don't want the other players telling you off. But as a manager, it's a different sort of...
See, I think you've got to. It goes back to what I said before. I think he's got to dig somebody out because... Just for an example, with Joey Barton at City, he just had no control over the whole changing room.
Yeah.
But if he squares up to Joey Barton, threatens to have a fight, the rest of the lads are like, fuck me, that is Stuart Pearce that we remember.
Yeah.
But because he didn't do that, it's like, So I think you have got to fall out with people. Yeah. It doesn't have to be personal. It doesn't have to carry on and ruin a relationship or ruin
that
the team.
That initial marker.
Just that initial statement of going, right, I'm going to have a fight with Joey Barton and the rest of the lads will respect us.
He'll back me up.
Yeah. So 3 weeks later when Tevez is having a shit on his desk.
But that goes back to, again, the amount of money that they're earning.
It's interesting. It's a different types of people, isn't it? Managers and other thing. But I do think you're right in that sense, like digging someone out to try and gain that respect straight away.
You don't have to properly fall out.
But you have
just
to be...
come for them for something stupid that's not going to be remembered or whatever. But make the rest of the lads be like...
Yeah, some lads do take it.
Take it to heart.
Do you want them in your team?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want them sort of players in your team?
Mate, we can go on all day saying that because it's just free fall with everything we're saying.
Isn't it?
It is good.
Were you confident on the field?
Yeah.
As a young lad?
I was. Coming from London, you have to be confident going around the streets and stuff. So I think I had a bit of that. Going into Nottingham, looking after myself, being streetwise.
Belief.
And looking after myself.
Because you would have had Darren Huckabee.
I had a lock that. Yeah. Ux.
I mean, you play with him at Norwich and you said he was the most confident person in his own ability that you've played with.
He was.
And he was vocal with that.
Yeah.
He did well with us, to be fair.
We had a good strike force, me, him, and Jono. was decent, to be fair.
Just need a bit of pace, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you ever a bit more strength?
We lacked
that. We scored some goals that
we lacked that.
Did you ever play with anybody who had the confidence but not the ability?
Oh, fuck,
oh, fuck me. Where do I start?
It works, you won, no.
But the thing is, you can't say it because that might be how they
get
deal
through
with
things.
Yeah. That might be just how they're, right, this is how I need to portray myself.
Yeah, this is decent.
To get myself up for stuff. But yeah, there's plenty where they came from.
Shit on his desk.
No, but what else?
What else can he do? Like,
what other option is there?
There's only one thing for that option is there to go
on the boardroom and drop.
Would you think that would have got him out there?
Yeah, I think if you pin him up,
imagine the yellow ticker on Sky Sports News.
Harry Kane shits on Daniel Levy's desk. Breaking news. But it's not going to stop him getting a move, is it? Because he's been good as goal for however many years. Oh, people in football just realise that he's just doing whatever he can to get his move. Just go all right then. It's not nice, right? But go into the dining room where your training is and just tip all the pasta out. Tip it all out. The lads can't eat because you've tipped all the food off. What's going to happen?
Nah, that's not Harry. He's not that kind of man.
No, but if it were, he might have got his move now.
Oh, I don't know.
He might be having any chance of winning something. Imagine how tragic it'll be, right? If Harry Kane, I don't think he'll get to Shearer, but he'll not be far off.
Mm.
Imagine if he gets to near Shearer's record of Premier League goals and wins fuck all. Nothing. I think that's a bit of a travesty, me.
Yeah.
When we all due respect, I'm just trying to think of a name.
It'd be a good question for Steven Gerrard, right? Because he didn't move. He almost went to Chelsea. But he's probably going to go back to Liverpool as manager now. As a Liverpool legend,
Steven Gerrard could have done anyway.
And always. Well, if he'd have left, he probably wouldn't still have that legendary status.
Here's one for you then. So Gerrard goes back to Liverpool in 5 years' time, does all right, but then leaves after 4 years without winning. No, he's won fuck all Liverpool then as well, again.
But this is about Marlon.
Sorry.
We're not normally like this, Marlon. Well,
I'm loving it. Keep talking. I love listening to it. It's good. It's
quick
good.
Quick call
it, Rick. Yeah. I'm going to shit on somebody's desk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I mean, some partnership with David Johnson.
Yeah, no, it was decent, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was buzzing at the time, to be fair, when he came in. Paul Hart was the manager at the time, since we went through so many managers. But he did well, Paul Hart, with the lads that we had, because he brought a few academy players through that he thought were ready. And me and Jono formed a really good partnership, to be fair.
50-plus goals between you?
I know, it was decent, to be fair.
There must have been. I mean, were you getting word in your ear from your agent? Because there must have been clubs sniffing.
There was at the time, but I weren't one of them players. I just told my agent, don't let me know or contact me, because in the change room hearing lads talk about teams coming to watch them, and then obviously when they're playing, they didn't pull out all the stops to try and get them away.
So you purposely just said, don't tell me about it.
Yeah,
I don't want to know.
Yeah, don't want to know. Unless we're going into someone else's club, that's when you tell me.
Yeah.
Just added pressure, innit? Yeah. You know, if you flip before a game, you say, for example, West Ham are ready to watch it tonight.
Yeah,
it's just unnecessary pressure,
yeah,
I think.
But it shows what direction Forest was going, because we did really well, me and Jono, that the year before that. So obviously they had different thoughts, different methods that they want to do, because if they wanted to keep me, they would have definitely given me a contract to make me stay there.
Exactly. Yeah.
But at the same time, it was an opportunity for me to join West Ham.
And get to the Premier League.
Mm.
Again.
But 4 years at West Ham, a year and a half in the Championship, and then playoffs.
Got promoted to the Premier
League. Big names and some big characters in that dressing room as
Some big names and big characters. Obviously, coming from Forest to go into that dressing room, I sort of think I was prepared myself for. I was prepared.
A piece of piss, really, if you've got Tank and you've got Jono and all them in. Yeah. Carlton.
What was your thoughts on Pardew?
No, well, good. When he gave me all the lingo and the chat that I'm going to be his number one, no matter what, he'll be playing week in, week out, which through the 4 years I was there, he stuck to his word. And just his whole per se and how he wanted to do it, I was all for it.
I can imagine he's one of them who turns up to meet you for the first time in a suit. Smart and... or a leather jacket. A leather jacket was that era, wasn't it?
To be fair,
shoes, no socks.
He was quite smart. Old Pards. He did. He's got a good gift of the gab.
Thing is, a lot of managers will say that when they're trying to get a player down to sign, they'll all give it the big and say, "You're going to be this. You're going to be that."
Yeah,
but he stuck to it.
He stuck to it big time.
But that's your performance has made him stick to it.
If you weren't
scoring, then you're not playing.
But as a player, you need that.
Exactly.
If a manager's telling you that, you're like, oh, okay, right, I'm going to show
confidence.
You. Yeah. But actually, he did stick to it because obviously West Ham's not an easy place to please. So I probably went for in the Premier League, 9 games without scoring. And he still persisted with me. But then I got my first goal. And then the first goal led to a hat-trick. So... He
knew what he was doing.
He kept me, yeah. Well,
so was it the first nine games you didn't score?
Yeah, I think it was.
How was your head at that point? Was it playing on you?
Yeah, massively. But obviously, I had Teddy Sheringham, Bobby Zamora, Dean Ashton, all them guys around me. And you didn't really realise it, but they were quite supportive. They didn't really say anything. They looked after you. We had a good team bonding at the time. Teddy was just saying it will come. Time to worry is when you're not getting in positions, which I was doing. It's just obviously keep a save and it going wide. It just weren't going in for me. But then, to be fair, Teddy set me up for my first goal and then it just carried on from there.
If you've got 4 strikers at a club, especially I imagine the higher you go, they're all thinking I should be playing.
Yeah, definitely. I was. Yeah. So it would be disappointing if they didn't think that.
Were they really that keen to help you? Or, you know, you said they're a bit quiet, you're thinking the thing.
It's very cynical today, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but it's good. I like it. Because it's a good question, really. I would never know because they ain't going to come back to me and say...
Yeah, but you're saying that you felt that they were helping you.
Yeah,
if you've been in a team where you're not playing, you're thinking, I hope he has a fucking shitter today.
Yeah, they probably was thinking that, but I didn't.
it's probably different for Sheringham, the winner, because he was... He must have been
74 at time.
So...
He's got nothing to prove, really, has he?
No, but he did pull out the stops, though. He still can play. At the time he was there, he was still scoring goals. He was helping us. He was a massive part of our time there when we got promoted and when we was in the Premier League. He was massive for us.
I think if I could pick one wingman from the history of the Premier League, it would be him to go out with.
To go out on a night out?
Yeah. He's wicked. He's good.
Take us under his wing.
I'd rather go for Ginola, me, and get Ginola's knockdowns.
We get Teddy's knockdowns.
I'd take Teddy knockdowns.
With his back to goal.
Oh. Oh. Mate,
he's not going to be messed with.
He is so good with back to goal.
Back to goal one.
Just tap that 9 out of 10 in there, love. Oh, cheers.
Yeah, Edwards.
Did they ever fight somewhere, Teddy? Was it Preston had a fight?
At home?
In the tunnel?
Yeah, God, how do you know about that one? Look at you, you've done some research.
I do a little bit of research. I just said it on this piece of paper.
Oh, God, yeah. That was being Teddy. I think Teddy had a little bit of a scuffle with him in the game. And then it just led to going down the tunnel. You know, lads just... heated and keep going, but the stairs at West Ham Upton Park, they go down and there's a little bit and then it goes up some flights, So obviously all in there, all the lads flying off, and then it just started quite kicking off. Everyone's fisticuffs flying, pushing, punches flying everywhere, holding players, people. Probably half of the lads were trying to stop it. But when you're stopping something, everyone else comes in.
If you get caught with a stray one, you're involved.
Then you turn around and then you're involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then
you're pushing.
So, and then it carried on going up the stairs, and we had security guards, big security guards, and Dave came involved. I think it was Dave. He came involved and trying to push people on the stairs, and then he fell down the stairs and everyone's falling down the stairs. What? And it's just
a tumble.
Yeah,
tumble.
It's just going all. It was just.
Was he all right?
At the end, he was. But I think he was a bit startled. But he was a big lad, so if he falls, you know about it. So
we've done a bit of digging, and we think it was Chris Sedgwick, don't we? Or Teddy Mobile? A little bit at the top of the other stairs.
Yeah.
Sedge.
Yeah.
He's got that in the lock. We were out in Hale once, and he said something to somebody derogatory.
Yeah.
And it all kind of kicked off. Outside, there wasn't a proper kickoff.
Yeah,
and I've just looked over the road and he's taking shelter under an umbrella, kicking out the rain, and just watching us like trying to
be fair. That wouldn't surprise me because after everything, he went nowhere to be seen, so everyone else is still scuffling.
That'll be said.
And he started it.
Yeah. Were there any repercussions? Anybody bought red cards?
No,
or anything like that?
I don't think
half-time?
So. I don't think refs get involved, they're probably in their rooms back then. Didn't really get involved.
Just turn a blind eye as well. Just think, let him fucking crack on.
Yeah. Did you ever have it where someone's gone, I'll see you in the tunnel?
That's probably me saying it to them.
I don't think I really.
Would you give it on the field?
If they got a bit thing about it, I think that's one of the. That's just a normal player thing to say, isn't it? Really?
Were you a white line kind of guy?
Can relate to that.
Like over the white line, you're a different character.
Yes. Definitely, I'd say so. That's a good question. I am. I've never had that question before. Yeah, I am. But once you cross that white line, it's on. Because I used to I'm like that big hold the ball defenders. I like battles with defenders. See how hard you are because the duels. If I'm beating you in my duel, I know I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
So I think I was a bit like that.
You know when you said about overconfidence, you had to do what you do to get yourself up there, get yourself ready. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Mind games.
No, weren't into mind games. Literally, just channel runs. Channel runs, hold the ball up, score as many goals as possible.
Get a goal in there as well. Job done.
Yep.
Job done.
Premier League hat trick.
Yeah, no, good times.
Who was that against?
Aston Villa. It was good, to be fair. Martin O'Neill was my first goal. Teddy put me in, legend Teddy. And then after that, it was sort of a free fall.
Tell us about Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker. Oh, he loves a story, he does. Oh, Jimmy. Character. Absolute character. He loves a way trip. Oh, Jimmy.
He does like in a weird day, doesn't he?
Does
like, count.
He loves a way trip. But he's good. He's a good lad to have in the dressing rooms. Character, getting everyone going. Because him and Rufus Brevett, they were best mates. I don't know if he told you about Ruth. Like they used to, every time, wherever Jimmy was, Ruth was. And they used like a little tag team. They used to go around causing all sorts of trouble.
He said, are you still playing cards since getting bullied in Palermo?
Playing cards? No, I'm not. Playing cards? No. Nah.
Got bullied in Palermo?
Yeah, massively.
Cards?
Yeah, big time. Well, I thought I'd join the card school. I wouldn't do that again.
Did you know what you were doing or were you just...
No, I knew what I was doing. It? But I don't know if when I'm looking back, I don't know if they were playing me off or am I just losing a lot? So yeah, I didn't enter that car school again.
I mean,
a joke.
What were you like, Carlos Tevez?
No, he was a good lad. He was a good lad.
Did he cover embrace the English culture? Or
no, he did. He did. Got him in trouble a few times. Obviously, learning a couple of words that we tell him. Tell him to go and say this to someone, and he end up going into a mass brawl. So
I mean, it's cheap, it's
effective.
It's very effective.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. He learned very quickly because obviously the banter on the change room when you're passing the ball or something happens and he was like, oh, fuck off. Like it's just funny how when they say it. Like, and that's the only word he uses, to be fair.
Oh, the other one he came in with it, Mascherano?
Yeah, Javier. What a player he was. But
he didn't do training. That well, did he? Was it something? Did he play him in a two in midfield or something? And he just didn't... It was only when he went to Liverpool that he really...
Yeah, no, it's just Hayden Mullins just keeping him out of the team, to be fair.
That's at the time, a career law, isn't it?
Yeah, but at the time, we didn't really know who the lads were. Like, we got these two lads coming in the dressing rooms, like, we're like, who are these?
Until
we'd done our research, and then obviously seeing them playing on the pitch and stuff like that, obviously Pards didn't know that he was getting players, I'm assuming, because he didn't play part of our team until Pards left, and then Curbs came in, and then they started playing the lads.
Yeah. So basically, Pardew was just got to these two Argentinian blokes in his dressing room, where he's got no idea about.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Because it was the third party ownership, wasn't it? And
yeah,
it was all a bit of a circus at that time.
Yeah, so they didn't really know. So they came in, and then because they didn't play, because I'm assuming if Pards would have brought them in, he would have played them, but that wasn't the case.
No. So that's fair play to Pardew, that, by the way.
Yeah, definitely.
But strength as a manager.
Well, put it this way, Hayden Mullins kept up Javier Mascherano. So,
yeah.
But no disrespect to Hayden, because he was actually a baller, to be fair, for us at West Ham. But when you're keeping like a World Cup player out of the team, you've got to think what's going on there.
I like that from Pardew. Yeah. You can put these two Argentinian bastards in my dressing room, but I'm not fucking playing. Fair enough. That, you know what I mean? Yeah. There are a lot of managers that go, oh, they fetched X, Y, and Z in. I need to play them because
you need to play them.
Keep them upstairs.
Mm. You were his main man in the cup final.
Mm.
Started at the header, Sheringham, Zamora. He was true to his word, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Is that when he's done the dance?
When
is that when he's done his dance?
No. Semi-final.
No,
it was the semi-final when he did his dance. No, it weren't the playoffs.
He was at Palace there, wasn't he? When he
was
did
it the
that.
Playoffs when he did his dance on the line?
He did, I think he's done a couple. I think
he was a party serial mover, isn't
he? Yeah. He loved
game on
the dance.
Strictly. He's not doing much. He's a game on Strictly.
But he loved the cup dance. Final. Like,
what a day for his man.
It's an unbelievable day.
Is it everything that you dreamed growing up that it would be?
Yeah, even better. Even better. It's like, you never think you'll get to a stage like that, but obviously time goes on, you work hard to get to that, and you're just looking around like, is this really real? But when you go out there and you're playing your stuff, and to be fair, well, during the time, like, me and Dean Ashton looked at each other thinking, we're 2-0 up. We're 2-0 up. We're going to win the FA Cup final. But then obviously Stevie G took his hands out of his pockets and just rifle one in the bottom corner.
Were you not a penalty taker?
I was a penalty taker.
Right.
But I did my fifth metatarsal, and I was supposed to come off, but we'd done all our subs, so I was just limping around.
Oh, so you were just limping through?
Limping around the pitch.
No way, man.
Could have been different.
Yeah.
He was almost a TV show in himself, Pardew, with the crack with Wenger.
Yeah. On the touchline.
Yeah. You scored the goal against Arsenal.
He was resting me that game, to be fair. I was fuming. Absolutely fuming. I remember it because he just says, I'm going to give you a rest this game just to get through the lads' game. It's against Arsenal. You want to play. It's like a London derby. And it was like 0-0. And I can, you know, as a player, you can, like, Pards looking around to see, like, it's like 70th minute, 80th minute's gone, and like looking, oh, I need to change it or do something. And I see him looking, I'm just like keeping my head down. That's okay. You want me to go on now, don't you? Like this. So,
it is now, dear.
You
don't need me to fucking rest now, do you?
So obviously, but I remember it because I went on and I went through one on one with the keeper and I missed. I'm like, oh God, I can't believe it.
He made the right decision.
And I think I'm never going to get another chance because as a striker, you only get, like, if you get a chance, you've got to put it away. But then I got another chance and I put it through, and then the stadium went crazy.
Did you make eye contact with what was going on?
No, I just took my shirt off and threw it down on the floor and just going crazy. I didn't even know Pards was having fisticuffs on the touchline until after the game.
Because Wenger wouldn't shake hands with him, would he? Like, arms folded.
Yeah.
Pards fuming, I imagine, it full time.
No, Pards was loving it, to be fair.
I would have said he'd been loving it.
But a bit awesome would have had him, though.
Do you think?
Yeah, one of them silent
people. Not in that big jacket.
One of them silent people, because he stood up for himself. When you watch the video, he didn't look scared.
I mean, there's a few fights in football I'd like to watch. I don't think Pards you against...
You don't think it's pay-per-view?
It's not me box office, is it? You know what I mean? But do you know, like, Gwen, throughout the whole of your career, would you class yourself as a natural finisher? Or did you have to work at it?
I had to work at it, being honest with you. I would say so. Getting to the Premier League, is when the likes of with Jermaine Defoe, he was relentless. Like, his finishing was unbelievable. Left, right, training. So you, after seeing the likes of him, you got to practice and get better and try to be at elite level to try and keep that goal scoring record going.
Seems like you're a confidence player as well. You know, when you said you went 9 without a goal.
Yeah.
And you got your one, and then that was you.
I think that's any striker, really, when you're playing. Once you get your foot...
Yeah, weren't you? No, seriously.
He's not kidding.
I thought that was any striker. Once you get that first goal, all start flowing after. That's how I felt anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, that when you knock the linesman out, is that true?
That's at Forest.
Oh, was that?
Yeah, I was celebrating. I was going crazy. I threw my hands like, and the linesman's there and I connected with the linesman.
Did you actually knock him out?
Did he fall? I can't remember. But I hit him. A good hit.
Well, to be fair, if you caught me a belter, he didn't go down. Fucking hell.
No, actually, he did go down.
He took a 10 count.
I just remembered. Monday, he's an accountant Monday morning or a fucking history teacher. I took his best.
Well, 4 years at West Ham, I mean, when you left, was that because Kerbishley came in and then a few months later you were leaving? Was there any connection there?
That's the same old scenario when manager comes in and you hear whispers talking and they didn't really give him a good review. Previous lads that's had him before.
What, lads from Charlton? Did you come from Charlton?
Yeah, so this weren't... They had bad experiences. But he came in and tried to... He upset the apple, so to speak.
How was he with you? Because you obviously were part of you. You were the main man.
Yeah, he was all right with me.
He played you?
A couple of games he did. But then... He didn't because we weren't winning, so it's understandable. We have to change it, and he just tried to find his formula. But we had a massive brawl in the change room, to be fair. And then after that, it kickstart. We went on a 10-game unbeaten run, and then Tevez scored at Man United away to keep us in the Premier League.
So what was it? Just after
brawl.
A game.
I'm going to say, I think you've
tempers running high.
I think you've glossed over that. We had a massive brawl and then we won 10 games.
Yeah. I tried to go straight off. Yeah, I can't remember the game actually. I think it was at Charlton, to be fair. And he just came in after, and then old school methods going around, talking to people. Yeah, and then one of the lads got up, and then it was just all heated and going at each other. We went on for ages, hours after. And I think a few things were said. And then it just, after that, I think he realised that we did care. Because sometimes when you're at the bottom, he thinks that players don't care, not pulling the finger out or just not showing the passion.
And that's the worst one, isn't it? You can accept the manager saying you were shit today, but
yeah,
you're fucking toxic.
Do you think
today
that distills it, though? Like, reinforces it? Amongst maybe lads that, not saying that they don't care, but maybe don't care as much. And then when you're in a situation like that where it's really heated and some of the lads are stepping up, like, no, we give a shit. Those lads that maybe don't give as much step up.
Yeah.
Because they're seeing
That's what happened. Literally what happened when the lads had enough of what he was actually saying or the lads were saying, and it just went from one thing to another.
Is that his statement that I was on about earlier where he's going, right, I need to... get at somebody.
You said that. It's massive because at the time, like, I probably think, what a dick. Mm. But looking back to it, that might be his method of getting,
like you said, 10 wins.
A reaction.
Yeah.
Just galvanizing.
Yeah. Old school method. Like, because we used to do doggies after training and the lads were hating him. So I don't know if that was his method of trying to get him on side, but it actually worked because he stayed in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Whether it were luck or judgment, same as you said, you did stay in the Premier League.
So, but that brawl was the turning point, and then he got things right there.
When you left West Ham then, did you not get on with Kerbishley, or was it just you felt like because he wasn't playing?
No, I just felt it was time really. After 4 years, I just had a conversation with Kerbs, what his plans and stuff, and I just thought it was time to move on.
You nearly went to Wigan.
Yeah. I was going to Wigan, but then Martin O'Neill gave me a call to say come to Villa.
Another great move, isn't it?
Yeah. At the time, I thought it was, But obviously, Martin O'Neill, once you get through the door, he's had his team in his head.
Did he give you the spiel? Like I was saying earlier.
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah, he did. Give me the spiel. But obviously, I was Gabby Abongahor and John Carew was his main number two.
Yeah. 4 million quid you went for, though.
Mm. Good price tag.
How quick did you realise that maybe this isn't going to be the right move?
After a year, I realised. But Martin O'Neill weren't letting, he didn't let, because we had a lot of players there, but he didn't really let people go or go out on loan or anything like that. He just kept you there. And we had a few upset lads in that dressing room.
Because they just wanted to play. The first time in your career where you'd been like in the old bomb squad?
Yeah.
Yeah, was it a bomb squad? Were you on the bench coming on?
On the bench, yeah. Well, it's sort of a bomb squad because you weren't playing, but I was on the bench the majority of the year, yeah. I was
in. Do you have many conversations with him? You know, going to see
him? Quite a few. Knock on his door. He just says, bear with me. You're part of my plans.
But 25 games, didn't you, that first season?
Yeah, but Gabby and Thing was, that we were doing really well. Villa were doing well. The players that we had there, like James Milner, Ashley Young,
Gareth Barry,
yeah. Stilin Petrov. There's some.
You got two brilliant strikers in John Carew and Gabby Agbonlahor. <Well.
laughs> Yeah, so couldn't really argue with that. Then Emil Heskey joined us. So there was quite a few of us there. To be fair,
are you the type that needed to be playing though?
Yeah, I want to be playing. I think that's any striker. I don't think that's type of player. I think you want to be playing week in, week out. But it was just, I just found it hard not to. But people thought I was just happy because I was on big money. But it's nothing I can do. It's out of my hands. I'm just trying to enjoy my football. But then the second year or the third year, I went to Wolves, which he let me out because I kept on knocking on his door. And then I went to Wolves, did really well, got promoted to the Premier League, come back. He didn't want to let me go again. Went to Newcastle, got promoted to the Premier League, come back.
I tell you what, you've been bloody successful.
it was decent, to be fair.
You get a medal for both of them promotions?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I got medals for being at a club half a season and getting promoted to the Premier League.
Oh, was that under Mick then? Under Mick McCarthy?
Mick McCarthy, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Decent. The lads I've been to, the managers, they're really good. Because he had, what's his name up front for Wolves? Oh, scoring the goals.
Doyle?
No, Evanks.
Oh, yeah.
And he was doing really well at the time before he got injured. I was playing up front with him. Then Newcastle up front with Andy Carroll, which was another great partnership that he was decent with.
I was Stacky at Wolves.
Stacky's a good lad.
Everybody just said that, aren't they? Great lad, Stacky.
Never really goes into detail.
No, he loves a night out as well. On Stacky.
So, you know when you went Newcastle then?
Yeah.
Kevin Nolan and Alan Smith and that year? Did you play against them that year?
Nobby, Nicky Butt.
Yeah.
Joey.
Yeah,
we did.
What were the geezer with big fucking bushy hair at the back?
Colaccini.
Yeah, all of them was there.
You went with Joey?
Yeah, it was all right, mate. Yeah. So that's the cliche as well about football. Sometimes you get a perception about somebody. Actually, to be fair, I was like not nervous, but you see him and hear stories about him, but he's absolute opposite. He's actually a nice guy, to be fair.
Yeah.
A good lad. Man, good lad in the change rooms and stuff.
Ned Benoit on, and he said he terrorised him as a young lad. He'd be almost...
Yeah.
Not progressing his career.
Oh, wow.
And it's just my, it's just.
But I think it's different perceptions of like, I'm a different kind of stature of a person coming into that change rooms.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to want us, unless he wants a proper fisticuffs. And I think he's going to be coming to me, try and bully me.
He's
all
right.
Yeah.
He's all
right. But he was all right. He was a good lad, to be fair.
Because what would John Carew, got the perception he was the most relaxed man you've ever come across.
He was. He was just chilled, John. Just relaxed. Come in when he wants, do what he likes. But he can score a goal, to be fair.
William are like that, aren't they now?
Yeah.
Are they?
Oh,
the guy out of Black Eyed Peas?
Nah, different Prince.
not the Black Eyed Peas or Prince. We'll combine the two. Prince William.
Oh, the Villa crack. Right.
I've just been facetious and I actually knew all you meant.
So they wouldn't let you sign for Newcastle permanently then?
No. I think I did my metal tarsal again.
You pushing for it?
I had a stress fracture. Yeah, massively. I was. Because Chris wanted me to stay longer, but...
Could it have been a shit on the desk moment, that? If you'd not brought your foot?
Yeah, massively, yeah.
It's hard for getting the table, isn't it, when you've got a metal tarsal?
With that big moon boot on.
It's another, it would have been a massive move for you and Al, wouldn't it? Big club.
Moments in your career.
Mm.
Hey, the massive move comes a bit later on, by the way.
Which one, Barnsley or Blackpool?
That's the fucking one. That is the one. The big move's coming in a bit, lads.
So, when it came to leaving Villa, I mean, did it get confrontational? Did you?
No, it didn't, really.
You know, like John's been saying, trying to push a move.
And... Yeah, no, I just kept on trying to push it, trying to get away. I don't know what was going through Martin's mind. So I think it was one of them things, like when you bring a player and you don't play him, and I think he's had that mindset they're going to go away and do well.
And
I
show
think
that up. Was and show him up, sorry.
Yeah, because like there's loads of players at Villa that's done it. Like Gary Cahill, he was one of them that he didn't play and he went on to Bolton, then he went on to Champions League medals. So he was trying to get out at the time,
just protecting himself.
Yeah,
that is like the biggest wankerish thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to
stop
take.
Stop somebody moving to another club just in case they prove you wrong.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, especially a manager of Martin O'Neill's stature, he probably don't need to do that, does he?
Mm.
Do you know, that's another...
Is that how you felt about yourself?
What, that?
That scenario that...
Yeah,
you
no.
just weren't being let go because...
That was it, because every time I went somewhere, we did well. So, and I enjoyed it, and I just want to play week in, week out to get better. As a player, you want to be playing week in, week out anyway. But he just weren't letting me.
But is it going from a manager's point of view? Could he have thought, "No, I want to keep him. Maybe not enough to start, but coming on half an hour to go. Who else am I going to get?" He's obviously been from a selfish point of view.
Because Martin's one of them players, old school managers. He would just literally name the team, like name the team, and then the subs. So he was doing that all season, and I didn't play all season. And all of a sudden, we're playing Man United away at Old Trafford on a night game. He's doing the team. And then I heard my name, it was about 11th. So that, then I would see if it was the 12th, 13th to see.
You weren't sure
I weren't
mention.
Sure if I was playing. So I was like, I went, "Wally, am I playing?" And he said, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh my God." So it's like one of them sink or swim game, right? Go on, play out front on your own against, I think it was Rio and Village.
Go and do your worst.
I was swimming, all right.
Doggies,
yeah.
But that's what then, from then on, he's probably thought, I'll set up as a 4-5-1 and if we get a point, I've done my job.
Literally, you don't play all season and he's just like...
But do you not feel like it's you're like lamb to the slaughter? And,
Go on, you can go and play now.
Yeah.
Like, you've been knocking on my door. Here's your chance.
Yeah. Way at Old Trafford up front on your own. Cheers, Martin. Much appreciated.
Literally, that was it.
So, I mean, Blackpool next. Yeah. You were only there a year?
Yes, I was only a year. We got promoted to the Premier League with Ollie. What a character he is.
Some boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
One of the nicest men I think I've ever met.
But I imagine he could... He's very different in a managerial, in his managerial role, maybe.
No, he's not. No, he's still the same crazy man.
I reckon he'd go more on the old disappointment than the bollocking.
Yeah, do you reckon
you'd let me down today?
You feel like you've let him down.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes and no. But he does, he's got this method of like, way he talks, his inspiration, like bringing his chickens and his farms and the way he actually talks about stuff is actually quite characteristic. He's got a character and it's funny.
Did that work for you though? Did you buy into it?
The first couple of games I did, but I was injured, so I didn't really get to hear more of it until, because I played the first game.
Just saw the chickens, not the cows.
Yeah. So my first game, I'd had 2 weeks of pre-season. He asked me to come and I signed and played Wigan away and then I scored 2 goals.
Have they not got like 10 players or something going into the Prem season?
Yeah, it was.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, literally. It was quite crazy. Then just threw me in the deep end.
How'd you get on with Arns?
Good. He's another good lad.
Cracker, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's retired, bless him, innit? Yeah.
Has he?
By the way, I've seen a photo of him. It looks like his fringe retired about fucking 12 years ago. he's like a fucking cockatoo.
Yeah.
It starts here. He's coming on though, isn't he?
Yeah,
it was. Retract that statement.
What's he doing now?
He's only just retired.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Last couple of days, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, last couple of days.
Yeah, he is.
Enjoy it, though, Blackpool.
Did I?
You enjoy it?
I did. Yeah. In living St Anne's, so that's where I was living. It was really nice, to be fair.
Because you got off to a good start.
Yeah, we did.
Was it 2 goals on your debut?
Yeah, and Wigan away.
What were the Oysters? Did you have much crap with the Oysters?
No. Just
keep out of the way.
The fans and them was just at it all the time, to be fair.
Yeah.
Do you know when you signed your 2-year deal, were you on the old, like, £90 a week in the summer?
Did you get what? Silly.
That is, he did.
A few of the lads had that in their contracts. Yeah, not a chance.
You heard about that, Chrissy?
Yeah. Brett told us about it.
Oh, of course he did.
Yeah. Yeah, Brett Onward.
Yeah.
You get injured pretty much straight away after a couple of years?
Yeah, I think it's Arsenal. I did my hamstring. I think that's just down to not having a pre-season or anything like that.
With that sort of stop-start that season then at Blackpool, or did you get back and...
Yeah, no, it did start-stop the season for me. But I think I came back and I did it again, because it's one of them hard things, like, you've got to try and strengthen it. And obviously going in the Premier League, you ain't got time to, like, bed yourself in. You're straight off the cuff, because we was on the pressure anyway, because trying to stay in the Premier League, the teams that we were playing.
I hated it, but it's so important to have a pre-season. It's
massively.
It's horrible, but it does need to be done.
Yeah. So was it just the injuries then that you went on to Barnsley and just needed to get the games?
I'm glad I did it though, because it was the experience, obviously going around the football. We're obviously talking about Stonesy and Trippier that I've played with as well, and they were decent at the time, young lads learning their trade. Obviously, I'm a senior player, and it's nice to be around players like that you can know that I've tried to help them get through to where they are now.
Could you see them going where they've gone?
Yeah, definitely. Especially Stonesy, because he was just so comfortable on the ball. He was one of them centre-half ball players at the time. So he's just gone from one extreme to another.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a night out in Barnsley?
No.
What are you looking like that for?
it's like a deserted town, isn't it?
No,
everything's boarded up. Isn't it?
We usually ask at the end if you have any regrets in your career. I'm telling you now, you're not going out in bars in one of the regrets of your career. I'm fucking telling you now.
I'm scared to go out in Barnsley.
I never played under him, but Keith Hill's meant to be a quirky.
Yeah, you know, he was good. He was good man management skills off the field, I think, was good. He liked to get with the lads and have a bit of banter and stuff. He's more inspirational as well, speeches and try to get you going and playing. He was all right, to be fair.
Great Escape season.
Yeah.
Was that the game at Huddersfield? Was it
Great Escape? Well, Barnsley.
At the end of the season, we play Huddersfield and I think Steely just had all of the ball.
Yeah, for about 10 minutes.
Both teams.
I was with Jason Scotland. Sorry, yeah. I was trying to figure, well, Great Escape at Barnsley.
A few Barnsley fans have said about you and Jason Scotland.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's a great song. We used to dance in the crowd. Yeah. Well, I remember, how can I not forget? The game, we stood still for like 10 minutes because both teams didn't need a point and we both stayed up and we scored. And
Did you have a word like just whoever's marking you, just like, are we?
No,
this I don't think
we're late.
I think it was like 5 minutes to go and Steele's got the ball and he's just put on the floor and no one went to him. Everyone was just stood still.
So somebody obviously needed the win.
Yeah.
And you just needed a point.
Both just needed a point.
Yeah.
Did you know any of the lads on the other team? I'm just thinking last minute just slips through.
This would probably be 10 minutes, not last minute.
Yeah, but I'm saying last minute you end up throwing goal. You know, a couple of lads.
But he didn't get to that stage.
I know, but if he did,
we had the ball. He just stood there with the ball and everyone was just stood still.
Yeah.
No one was even moving. No one closed the ball down. He's just waiting for to blow the whistle. It's like saying to him, blow it now because no one's moving.
let's save us 10 minutes, you 10 minutes, the fans 10 minutes.
And all fuck off.
So we'll get in the pub and we'll all fucking celebrate stopping up. Everyone's a winner.
Did you not fancy extending that new challenge in China? obviously only.
Yeah, I would have.
Yeah?
Yeah, but it's just family. I miss my family too much the time I was there, because I only seen them probably about 3 times in 4 months. So it's just, I just missed them.
How does the move to China come? Does your agent phone you and says, there's Shanghai Rovers have phoned, do you want to go?
No, I think because Liz, she was the Chinese agent, she was a West Ham fan. And I think she, I don't know if there's a list or whatnot, knowing that you're on a free or, and she just contacted my agent and said that, is Marlon on free? They're looking for a striker. Does he want to go over to China?
And then, it'd be a great challenge for him.
Yeah.
Be a great challenge.
Great challenge until he, then my agent showed me the piece of paper and I was like, yeah, let's go. Oh,
yeah. Can't wait for the suitcase,
I can't wait for the challenge to start.
It was a great challenge, that was.
I genuinely didn't think you were going to start the story with well, there were Liz. Liz had got some contacts in China. What are you like out here?
It was wicked. It was wicked. The team I went to, Guangzhou, they looked after me very well. They'd just been taken over by some billionaires and they wanted to get back to the Super League because they just got relegated. So that's why they're looking for a striker to go and try and get them back up there.
What do they do it for then? Are them Chinese owners? Do they just do it for like a bit of crack and a bit like
I don't know. I don't speak Chinese. Manager. I wouldn't know what they were saying, to be fair. No. It probably is, yeah.
Is there any money in it for them if they win the Chinese Super League?
Yeah, there's so much money in China. It's ridiculous.
I imagine you'll fetch a bit fucking back. There's not quite as much money as what the fuck you were.
Chinese is crazy. You've got cities over there, empty cities that they've built and stuff. It's mad. But yeah, it was enjoyable, to be fair. They looked after me very well. They gave me interpreter, driver, all that kind of thing. But the Chinese people, the players, they just stayed in the hotel. You know, like we go to hotel on away games. They lived there for the whole season. So they stayed there and I was somewhere else. And I said to them, I don't want to be somewhere else. They was in this hotel, like a football camp. And I went and stayed with them and just learned the culture and be with them. And it was good. I enjoyed it.
Well, need to ask him about Hartlepool. Need to ask you about Hartlepool because we had a few fans.
Yeah,
he wrote that season, weren't you?
It was amazing as well. What's his name? Ronnie Moore.
Purple Ron.
Yeah, he came and done a job for us as well.
Was this after China?
Greatest Escape? No, this was before.
This is before China.
Yeah, now you're making me think.
It was after.
Was it after?
China. Yeah, yeah.
God, after China. I really forgot all about it.
He walked into Hartlepool with these big fucking bags over your shoulders, fully yen.
You're going to have to rob your game if you go on, this is your life.
Fully yen. No, that was in my image rights commentary. God, yeah.
That was incredible what they were doing at Hartlepool.
Yeah, it was. It was. Because Colin Cooper, he was the manager at the time. And then...
Big Ron came in.
You were proper dead, weren't you? Like, gone.
Yeah, yeah.
15 points, so much stupid like that off.
Yeah, it's mad, wasn't it?
See, again, because he's renowned for it. Like, getting clubs out the shit. Yeah. Like, another...
Yeah, but this was a proper great escape. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was bigger than West Brom's when they bought him at Christmas, this.
You still playing a bit now?
Only charity games.
Yeah.
Yeah, just try to do my bit, keep myself fit as much as I can.
You need to get us on one of them Hong Kong trips.
Yeah,
mate. Oh,
somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, probably just you, maybe.
I'm with next. I'll play number one. I'll lose some money for some yen. I'll lose some weight for some yen. So do you miss it at all? Football?
No, I don't.
Not even the playing and the scoring bit and all that?
Nah. I miss the change room, the banter. That's probably missed that more than anything. Don't miss playing. I think 22 years is enough for me. I'm enjoying what I'm doing now. So that's why I think...
makes it easier.
I'm not really, yeah. Because I can see players going a bit crazy after football if they haven't got really anything to... to grab onto or to do
so. Do you think that really helped you
in terms of
having a focus, having the business, having everything?
Well, I didn't really think about it at the time when it's happening, but didn't realise how it will benefit me now. Mm. Like thinking what I do for the last, because I've been retired probably 5-6 years now, and I've not really looked back.
But I can just tell. Doing something else.
Yeah, just my mind every day, the business.
It's good when the business is doing well, I suppose, as well. Like a football club, if you're doing well, then
everything's all right.
Everything's rosy.
Yeah, so true. So I feel sorry for lads. I think they should have something in place, no matter if you've got the amount of money that you have. Because, well, to be fair, if you're having 22 years in football, you shouldn't be looking for anything else after that. Anyway, you should be comfortable. Guaranteed, but it doesn't always go like that.
It's focused away.
When you're in that bubble,
like you can have all the money in the world, and
yeah,
you but can they should slip have into something.
And I think there should be something in place for them to do that, regardless to how much money they have.
Mm. Career highlight
after today, obviously.
We're laughing at.
I learned a lot. No, it's been good. It's been really good on here.
If you've got any young pals who are still playing and they want to get out of a club, all you need to do is just shit on the...
I'll tell them that. new method. It's going to be lingering around over there. Now you're going to see the news. Players shit on table because he wanted to get out of club.
No.
Probably semi-final. FA Cup semi-final goal.
Semi.
Yeah, it's just things you dream about, don't you, as a kid. And that was the goal, to get us into West Ham into the final after so many years. So I think that was definitely a highlight for me.
Next important question. Do you think I should go matte black for the wrap or all white?
I think all white.
Do you think?
Yeah, have a change. Matte black. Everyone has matte black. It looks good. So, but I think we're all about colour in our showroom now, because we do that many matte black cars now. It's just nice to see a different colour.
Yeah. I'm thinking metallic purple.
It suits him, wouldn't it?
It'll look fast.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
If anybody does want the cars looking at, what?
AC 13.
AC 13.
Yeah. We say AC 13, but AC 13 Premier is the name.
Place to go.
So if they want to pop
hit
down
him up,
get looked after, let me know. Man. Thank you.
Well, apparently we're getting ours done for free, bless him. He's a fucking good lad.
I'm glad he went to fucking China.
Watch for that purple dashing legs next week.
I'll be driving around fucking bands, you're like, fucking up, Dong Kong. Whoa. I'll be like, what's it called, that cunt out at Fast and Furious?
Do you do my Chris?
Bit baldy. Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel driving around bands.
cheers. Quality.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.